This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you back a returning guest. He was on my show back in May 29th, 2018. We're talking no other than BioLargo, Inc. They're an environmental-friendly science technology company. And what they do, they make life better for by delivering sustainable technology-based products that help solve some of the most widespread problems threatening the world's supply of water, food, agriculture, healthcare, and energy. You can find them on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol BLGO. I think they're about ready to blow up. I find them very undervalued here at 33 cents. And with us today is the CEO of the company, going to bring us up to speed and up to date, no other than Dennis Calvert. Dennis, welcome back to the show.
Everett, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
How is the rollout on the Cooperdyne Clean to the waste handling and wastewater treatment industry going? And tell us the process and how it's working with the big national accounts going.
I'll be glad to, and thanks, Everett, again. So Cooperdyne Clean is just an incredible story. I'm going to go into a deep dive with you, Everett, and with all our listeners, because I think it's so critical to understand the significance of this opportunity that people really didn't even realize existed for us. And it's turning out to be this incredibly strong product offering that has a value proposition that extends around the world. We believe that the science of our technology has the chance to dislodge or disrupt the incumbents, right? Take market share away from competition easily. And we're proving that on a daily basis. So it's pretty cool. So the way we describe it, because this is our first big commercial success, and it's unfolding right before us, okay? I think it's a testimony, and our success and our endurance in getting through this adoption cycle is a testimony to perseverance, right? This idea that we know what we know. We know we have the number one performing product in the market. We know it. We've proven it over and over and over, number one. Number two, we've set up with value pricing. We bundle the package of services and commitment to really handle odor and VOC control. These are gases and odors that industries like the waste handling, like the trash guys, that industry handles it. Wastewater treatment handles odors and VOCs, right? And we're the first to come along with a product that actually works, okay? So I think the testimony to our success and why we're winning so big is this idea of perseverance, because you know what you know what you know. Number two, it really shows how earning the trust with a little expands to be trusted with a lot. You know, and what we did is we made a strategy. We said to ourselves, we're going to go in with the number one performing product with an uncompromising service. That means a level of integrity and service to the client that truly looks to serve, to provide value really in excess of what they're paying. When they're done with us, they walk away and they say, my gosh, I got something I didn't even know was possible. And we're targeting these big national accounts so that when we earn the trust of a little, like a location or region, we know that behind them there's hundreds, if not thousands, of locations available to us. And so it's pretty high risk, right? We've taken that challenge and really gone after these big players.
Well, it sounds like the adoption is across the industry with your order thing. Can you share with us who are your companies that you're signing up?
Well, that's actually very difficult to do that, because this is an area where we're solving problems that people don't want to talk about. And so it's pretty tricky, but here's what I can testify to. We've landed three of the largest seven players under national purchasing agreement, but the reality is that we're also working with all the majors. And so that's a big deal. And so what's happening is we're finding ourselves in that little spot where we earn that trust and confidence. We deliver. Generally speaking, too, Everett, we're given the most difficult challenges in the market. You know, when we start, the first project that we work with a company on is usually the toughest. And so what happens is when you can solve the toughest, of course, they realize you can solve the easy ones, too. And they also get to know you. They get to know our service. So we've done a couple of really critical things in the last 3 or 4 months that I want to talk about real fast. What's happened is our team has become experts in this area. And, you know, it's been a lot of years of practice to become expert And with the volume now, I really believe our team is looking at more situations in the marketplace with these challenges that the customers face than anybody. And so we know what to do. It's a critical thing. The other thing that's happened is we're getting region by region adoption. Okay. So when a corporate office calls up and says, hey, let's go out here and work on a region, we end up with a regional manager. A regional manager says, okay, we want to do this. And generally speaking, that can represent somewhere between 3 or 4, upwards of maybe 10 and 15 locations on a regional adoption. So it's coming in waves, okay? The other thing that we've done, as you know, is we acquired and built a full-service engineering team. We've also bundled service. So when we come into these situations with these clients now, not only do we have a great technical product, but we have the expertise to do the design, the construction, and the installation work to make the systems available to these clients. Plus, we have a service component. Literally, we've got team members that can go out into the field and handle just about anything that this customer needs to solve their issue of the moment. Well, that's huge.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a turnkey thing, okay? And for a company that really, for years, was really more known as a tech shop with great invention, you know, we've really, really sort of morphed the company into become this one-stop shop with a solution that can really tackle the Achilles heel of an industry. And with the number one performing product with value pricing, right, and a commitment to service and relationship that I would argue is unparalleled in the market. I mean, literally, the way we approach it, and this is what we train our team on, is listen to the customer and help them solve whatever they need to solve. We have the talent in this company to go into those situations with the depth of knowledge and experience that most companies can't even scratch the surface on. And as a result, that commitment to win the little ones and be trusted with the big ones is exactly what's unfolding. You know, so we look at this business as something that, you know, with an investment of manpower, we got to staff up our account executive roles. We need more people, okay? We're understaffed to really go big national, but we're pushing ahead. And we believe with some basic dedicated capital to sales and marketing to ramp up that division, we could get this to about $1 million a month in sales over the next year or so.
Wow, that's okay? Impressive.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then you say, well, is that, you know, what's $1 million a month? I mean, how about $4 million a month, right? I mean, this market is much bigger than $1 million a month business for us. So the question is, how fast can we ramp up the infrastructure and maintain that commitment to service, that integrity of the infrastructure and the ongoing relationship with these customers? We know we have the number one performing product, period. We know that we're priced at a value pricing below the market. We're saving customers somewhere between 25 and 50% per month. We're solving an issue that no one wants to talk about and, frankly, has this Achilles heel. And when I say Achilles heel, you know, you pull up the internet, do the Google search. When the problems get out of control, you know, these are not $100,000 problems. These are multi-million dollar lawsuits that the industry does not want to deal with.
Speaking of products, what's going on with the Clyra and the FDA application and the process of that?
That's a $1 million question, right? Everybody wants to know, when are we going to get FDA approval? And, you know, and so do we. So this is, I know it's tough, you know. And it's really interesting. If you'd asked me 2 years ago, you know, how fast is this process? I'd say we're going to be among the shorter. And we did say that, in fact. And what you find out in the process is that the regulatory process is highly uncertain. I don't care how well prepared you are. It's just the nature of the beast, okay? So we have a product right now in application. It's within the 90-day time frame, probably halfway through it. We know of no objections that are going to keep us from getting this approval. We're not fighting an ongoing battle internally or anything like that. It's just the standard regulatory process, okay? And so we're hopeful. And I say hopeful, confident in our product, confident in what we've done, confident in our advisors, confident that we have a value proposition. We know the product works. All the data is assembled, okay? We have a disruptive technical advance that has a significant opportunity in this market. So we're confident we're going to get through it.
Good.
And we're hoping it's short because we need to. Now, I want to tell you what else is going on, though. In addition to the regulatory, there's a couple things happening here. Most recently, you know, in the advanced wound care, which is a term of art, advanced wound care talks about chronic infected wounds that won't heal. So sometimes these patients will have a wound that's open for a year, and it's incredibly painful. And sometimes they get infected, right? So that's what we're talking about. Potential long-term chronic wounds won't heal. Means the tissue won't close, right? Well, the incumbents, the number one and number two products in the world, are based on silver compounds and hypochlorous acid, okay? And both of these are coming under great pressure, okay? In particular, silver. Silver's been really challenged across the world as having the potential to cause microbial resistance. That means the bugs mutate, okay? And three countries in the EU, Switzerland, Australia, and Germany, just announced that they were banning silver compounds in advanced wound care. And the prediction is that the EU will follow, and that near after, the U.S. will likely follow as well. Now listen, you're talking about an $18 billion segment. $18 billion segment dominated by silver, number one, hypochlorous acid, number two. Hypochlorous acid, great antimicrobial. You know what the problem is? It doesn't really promote healing, number one. And number two, it has a very, very short shelf life. You know, in about a minute, minute and a half, it's done. It's done all it's going to do, right? And so here we are with the gold standard, iodine, without the collateral damage. So let me just remember to redefine that for everybody. That means we reintroduce the gold standard. Now remember, what does gold standard mean? Gold standard means it's the one by which everyone other is compared. They compare its efficacy, how well it performs as an antimicrobial, against the gold standard, iodine. What's the problem with the old iodine? Well, it's cytotoxic. It actually damages skin tissue. So let me just articulate that real quick. When a doctor makes a choice about the antimicrobial in a chronic situation, they need broad-spectrum efficacy, and they want to try to do no damage. Well, iodine is the last resort, because the old iodine, because it actually damages skin tissue. So remember, our invention is that we're reintroducing the gold standard without the cytotoxicity, plus a host of other features that add selling propositions. The point, though, is, again, we present ourselves with a disruptive opportunity in a multi-billion dollar global market as a platform technology. Now, there's one more piece of the puzzle I want to point out to you. We've made reference to the fact that we're working on strategic relationships. Some of those might include additional technologies that we'll bundle into the company. So why is that important? Because we believe that our antimicrobial combined with other platforms will allow us to build this cornerstone of technology, these assets, platform assets, that will rival the largest and most successful companies in the world in this industry. People need to understand that we're after a really, really big prize here. And then the other piece I just want to point out, last one, is that remember this business, under the umbrella of BioLargo as an incubator, is positioned to spin out into its own public company. And that's really significant. Go ahead.
I could talk to you all day, but unfortunately we're running out of time here. And I'd like to get to my last question that I'd like to ask you about the AOS, you know, shares and commitment that you guys are trying to get that to a commercialization product. I know you're still working on the pilot. Briefly, can you give us an up-to-date on
sure.
the process and that?
The work has been intense and awesome. Okay, what I can report is that we believe we've solved the scale-up issues. The questions of can we scale this, we believe we've solved. We have good estimates of OPEX and CAPEX, that's operating expense and capital expense, to make the system available in the marketplace. And here's the deal. Estimates aren't good enough. So what you got to do now is you take those estimates and you turn them into real life. That's what we're doing. We need the data to show the marketplace that we have an OPEX and a CAPEX that provides a value proposition in a highly competitive, very large barrier to entry market. We're doing that work now. We have four pilots in process that have been committed and organized, all in various stages of funding and grants. Those relationships represent over $4 million in pending grant applications. We chose that academic route for the capital. It also gives us this data set that's beyond reproach, right? So we have opportunities in poultry, which everybody knows about, new opportunities to come back to the oil sands produced water. Big deal. And we're talking about a major project with some of the leading companies in that industry. We have another proposition in stormwater, which we think is technically a great situation for our technology. And then we just got picked up another project to do wastewater at a microbrewery in Southern California in combination with another technology backed by one of the major influencers in the water industry around the world here in Southern California. So key relationships are being put together. The work is incredibly intense, and we're knocking on that door, and we're anxious to get these pilots, which really should all start in the September timeframe. They'll run over time. They'll provide that data that allows us to really form these relationships and get this product, this technology into a commercial track. So we're pretty excited about that.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. You've said a lot today. You said it all. Cooperdyne Clean is going to be on fire. Looks like you guys are going to sign up anywhere from 25 to 100 companies here in the near future. Hopefully you'll give us an update when you come back on the show here in about 40 days. And like I said, I wish you nothing but continued success.
Everett, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or the station.